Hang on a minute. Where is she?
I'm right here.
Let me give her permission to do that, okay?
I don't think it works that way at your house.
That's the only thing you can go above your husband on is prayer.
Y'all know as well.
And the law too.
I was asking for permission.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we come before you. We thank you for the gift of laughter, for humor, for friends, for fellowship. Lord, we lift you up this morning as the sovereign of the universe. So many troubling things are happening around us, in our country, in our world. And Lord, we want to recognize that you are the King of Kings. Lord, help us to keep our eyes so focused on you. It is so easy to slip away into worries and troubles, and we all have them in some form or another. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that your love is so unconditional. It does not change. Whether we are weak or whether we are strong, you are always strong. You are always omnipotent. You are always in charge, even though you might seem invisible to us. You are not. You are always there behind the scenes, whether we can see what you are doing at every moment. We thank you, Lord. We ask that you will increase our faith through Larry's teaching, and that your blessings would fall upon every member of this class, whatever is going on in their lives, whatever joy, bless them in their joy, whatever sorrow, bless them and presence yourself with them in their sorrow. And we thank you, Lord, for Larry and Carol and their leadership. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Most of you know about Mac Powell and Third Day. I'm going to play something from Third Day this morning. struck me listening to that was, you've gone before. You've gone before me. It's interesting that our lesson is from Isaiah 65:24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Before they call, before you call, God, he's answering you. And while they're still speaking, I will hear. A testimony. Start out with. In the middle 1980s, I used to take an hour off for lunch and go to a gym and work out. And there was one day that my wallet was stolen out of my locker. And it had an American Express card in it. And there was no cell phones in 1984. I don't think there was, anyway. I didn't have one. And so I got back to the office and called American Express. And they said, oh, we're glad you called. We had a call from a motel down in East Point, Georgia. Somebody using your American Express card. And the lady said, you want me to call the police? I said, yeah. So in 20 minutes, I had the guy arrested before I called. But God has your solution before your problem ever existed. We need to understand that. Because we want to do all sorts of things to solve our problem. And usually it's our flesh. It's something that's got nothing to do with love. Nothing to do with humility. Nothing to do with glorifying God. We just want to solve that problem. I want to show you something here this morning. It also says in Hebrews 4:3, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. He was talking about people in the wilderness. Some had faith and some didn't. Even though his works were finished, his works in your life were finished before the earth was made. Think of that. And of course, you'll experience that if, which we're not going to go into, but you can imagine. There's ways we can experience it, and there's ways we can leave it behind, right? As human beings on this earth, believers or non-believers, we can all experience some sort of captivity or bondage. It may be worry about an important issue in your life. It may be finding it impossible to deal with certain circumstances. Just to let us know about his unlimited power, God spoke Isaiah chapter 40, among others, to Israel, that he would release them from captivity in Babylon even before they were taken captivity. According to some commentaries, and there's a commentary in the back that says that. I'm not going to try to prove it. But what the commentary says is that in Isaiah 40, God was promising Israel that they would be released from Babylonian captivity before they were even taken into captivity. And Babylon, of course, recall that mystery in Revelation 18, mystery Babylon is the world system that keeps the souls of men in captivity. All right, let's look at Isaiah. We're going to go through the whole chapter of Isaiah 40. And we're going to show what God has been speaking to his people. First, he spoke the promise to Israel to release them. He says, comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your Lord. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and to everyone who's in the sound of my voice. I speak comfort to you. That her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall be, and hill shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The next few verses emphasize that we're not able to get anywhere, to get ourselves free. God says, I'm going to free you. But then he says in the next few verses, you can't do this yourself. The boy said, cry out. He said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord, what is it? Stands forever. Then God shows his omnipotence. Omnipresence and omniscience. What is omnipotent?
All power.
All power. What is omnipresence?
Present everywhere.
And what is omniscient?
Knows everything.
Oh, Zion, You who bring good tidings, get up to the high mountain. O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings, lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with the young. Who has measured? Now he talks about himself. He says in verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Look at this. He says, who can measure all the oceans with my hand? Can you do that? He said, I can do that with my, I can measure everything, all the oceans. I can tell you exactly how deep they are, how many inches they are, how many feet they are. Who has calculated the dust of earth in a measure? The dust to the earth, he knows exactly how much it weighs. Does he know your problem?
Yes.
Yes, Carol. Who has weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance? Wow. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or who has his counselor has taught him? In other words, does God need someone to teach him something? Who has taught him knowledge? Wait, who has he take counsel and instructed him? Who taught him the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge? Who showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket and are counted as small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor is beast sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom will you then liken God, or what likeness will you compare him? When he says the nations are in a drop in the bucket, I always remember in the 1980s, again, I was in the World Trade Center before it, as long before it, you know, was blasted. I was on the very top floor with the people that, it was a stock company, and my employer took me up there with some other people. And I looked down the window, and the taxi cab looked about the size of half of my finger. And this scripture came to me, the nations are like a drop in the bucket. And I said, I'm not even very high, really, compared to where you are. And they look like nothing. And you have nations look like that. I'm looking at taxi cabs. I'm 100 floors. Huh?
The picture you need, Carol.
It came up on the screen.
Yeah. Leave it up.
Great.
Okay. I don't want to draw your attention away. All nations before him are nothing and are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. Verse 18, to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare to him? So he's giving you a little bit about his omniscience, omnipresence, and omniscience. And he says, I'm going to set you free, and I can do this. I'm capable of doing this. And then he's kind of warning us to take our hands off of certain things in our life. Man-made solutions do not work. He said, the workman molds an image, the goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skilled workman to compare a carved image that will not totter. Back then, what's the word I'm looking for?
Idols.
Thank you. We're made with gold and wood and stuff like that. But our idols are up here. Is that right? And sometimes we think we're strong enough to do something. Sometimes we're depending on something to do something. Let's make sure that we are honest with God. And we say, I want you to go before me with your plan, not my idol, not my solution, not my lack of love, not my demanding, you know? Not my arguing, not my making somebody, you know, fighting. But go before me, you do this. I'm gonna take on your character and I'm gonna trust you. That makes sense? And then it says, no one's like him. This is before verse 21. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told from you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and speaks them out like a tent to dwell in. He speaks, he brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Carol, that reminds me of one time that we were trying to help a lady get legal custody. This is about 20 years ago, I think, of her child. She had a very evil husband who was trying to take him. Remember that? And she went to court, and she hadn't been perfect. But God changed the judge's mind to give her custody. Remember that, Carol? About 15 years ago, yeah. So even the judges of the earth. Where was I? What verse was that? 24? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scarcely they shall be planted, scarcely they shall be sown, scarcely shall their stock take root in the church, in the earth, when he will also blow on them, and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me, or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One. I challenge everybody here in the sound of my voice to go home and meditate on what God is saying about himself. Not just listen to this one time. Meditate on these things. And it'll get your mind off your problem, for one thing. Right, girl? It'll let you know who's got his problems in the hollow of his hand. Amen, Barry? What do you like to do sometime?
I get off of work and the sky is clear. I said before, just look up and just see the stars, how beautiful. And man, it just hits me. A lot of times I start crying and just start singing that song, "Oh Lord my God."
Amen.
And I also wonder, I see the stars. And it is just so great just to look up and just know he's got every one of them numbered and names. I fall on my knees right there. It's just so awesome.
Amen.
Larry, it brings to mind the analogy.
Let me get this up. Everyone to hear
it. I've always liked the analogy of a train, a very powerful locomotive, and thinking of Jesus as that locomotive and all those cars behind him being powered by Jesus as they go through things, especially the idea that Jesus has been through everything and more that we will experience.
Come on, he's been through it. That's what the cross is about, right?
Living in the age of grace, and he goes before us in each situation. And if he's aware of each sparrow that falls, how much more does he care about Elaine's circumstances, Barry's circumstances, and each one of our circumstances?
But you brought up something, too. He's gone before us not only with what you're saying, but through the cross. Everything that we could have possibly been wrong with us, it cursed him on the cross. He suffered that sin.
Larry, this is a little bit one off, but I guess it was in the Middle Ages that people thought the earth was flat.
Yes.
And just think about this. The writer says, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth. If we would just listen to God, I mean, they already knew that the earth was a circle.
Amen, that's good. Thank you for bringing that up.
You know, but that just struck me that these Bible writers, under the inspiration of the Lord, new. The earth is round.
I think there's some more lessons back there, Rich. Yeah. Yes, Tina.
I like the way that he's used the grasshopper because the grasshopper has the most complex eyes. Has
the
two
the most what?
Complex eyes. It has the two compound eyes and three simple eyes. Has five eyes total.
It has five eyes.
Mm-hmm. But it's able to see everything.
Wow. Didn't know that.
That's interesting.
I think I'm in verse 25. To whom then will you liken me? Whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high. See who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number, he calls them by name. There's the stars. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God? How many people ever feel that way? God doesn't. He must not know what I'm going through, or he must not care. Why did this happen? Why is it happening? What's up? My way is not hidden from the Lord. He sees all the stars and counts them by number. He knows all the every exactly how many hairs are on your head. Page 3. Now here's the promise. Notice, it is only for the weak. Everybody say the weak. For those who have no might or strength. In other words, it is for those of us who are broken and know that there's nothing that we can do to solve our desperate issues. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the count, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? When I'm weak, then I'm strong. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. I think everybody knows verse 31. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I think we covered this last week. Eagles can sense a storm is coming from far away, even before a human eye can see it. When the eagle senses the storm, he finds the highest nearby mountain or hill. Then he faces the storm, raises his wings, and places them in a locked position so they become much like an airplane wing. I want you to see this. He's up to the highest hill and looks like this. And there's a joint in there that makes the wings one. He can't wave the wing anymore. It's locked into place. Okay? It becomes like an airplane. When the early wind of the storm hits the eagle, his wings carries him up higher and higher until he is way above the storm, just soaring without effort, looking down upon the storm. Now I want you to see, here's the eagle sitting up here, a little wind comes up, and he's lifted up. He's not waving his wings and struggling. The wind just lifts him up. And he's looking down at the storm like this. He's kind of having, he's kind of flying around. Come on, Barry. Wait a minute. Wait. You need to expand it.
So if the eagle's perspective is altered by the fact that he's above the storm as opposed to being in the midst of the storm, we can approach when storms come into our life as a much greater good coming out of it at the end.
Amen, brother.
Gracious.
And when storms come, we should look at them as opportunities. And God is working. And he's working in somebody's life. And not whine and whimper and carry on and say, God, show me what this is going to be used for. Show me how I can use this for you.
Amen, Joyce.
Storms come. We know that. Here's the summary. God sees that we will be, number one, God sees that we will be overtaken with some sort of captivity. What are you overtaken with at this time? What causes you to worry when you first wake up in the morning? Number two, God emphasizes that we would be unable to get free from her by our own efforts. Number three, he lets us know even our worldly idols cannot help. Number four, for several verses, he emphasizes that nothing is impossible for him. He shows us supernatural abilities, but he gives the conditions of believing even when it looks impossible and when we feel like we have waited too long. It says those that wait upon the Lord. Doesn't say that just everybody will mount up with wings as eagles. Those that wait upon the Lord. Let's back up a little bit. I didn't really emphasize that. Sometimes we want to, like I said in the first, we want to reach out and solve this issue. And looking back in my life, when I've done that, there's always been loss or pain. Why didn't I wait until I heard what you had to say? Why didn't I wait until you let me? Let's wait until we feel his presence, until we feel us soaring. If we don't wait, Barry, we're not going to soar above. Only those that wait upon the Lord will get that advantage you're talking about.
And sometimes, with best intentions
and
a pure heart, we can block progress in someone's life. The Lord may have someone right where he wants them, for them to begin to repent, and we step in and say, well, we'll provide a pickup truck for you, or we'll provide a place for you to stay. And we cut short the move of the Lord. And then the cycle begins again, and then that person may get to rock bottom a year or two or three later, and then the Lord's will is done in his life without the interference of Barry, without the interference of Larry.
You got it. You're right. Yes, ma'am. Coming over there.
There's two sides to waiting upon the Lord, and I think both of them count. The definition, as we've been discussing, and also like the waiter waits on you at the restaurant. If we will wait upon the Lord, if we will wait on him, serve him, worship him, I think both of them go hand in hand.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up.
The other thing, I think...
Let me get you. I want to get you on the recording. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute, baby. Hang on a minute.
I agree. I want to kind of expand on that. Like, there is a time where you, time-wise, wait on the Lord. But I think also when you take upon the action of the Lord, that you can bear the fruit of the Lord.
Amen.
There is, when you're bearing the fruit of the Lord's will, it is in his will, and when you're in his will, it's much more or exceedingly above and beyond if you can think of
it. So waiting sometimes has to do with, Elizabeth reminded me, waiting has to do with sometimes we talk a lot in this class about bearing fruit. God speaks to you, he gives you hope. We've been talking about hope, talking about faith. He plants a seed in your heart. In Mark chapter 4 it says when he plants a seed in your heart, Satan comes when?
Immediately.
Storm. So you have to make it through that storm without the character of the first three guys. Look at Mark chapter 4. This one had anxiety and trouble. This one, you know, only the fourth person bore the fruit. The first three didn't have the godliness in them to wait. Who was raised their hand?
Waiting.
That's right.
It doesn't necessarily have to be like bearing burden.
It doesn't always have to be warfare. Just waiting.
Yeah, it could just be like, you know.
Exactly.
You know, like you're in a waiting room, you're preoccupying yourself with something else.
You're right.
You know, it doesn't always have to be like, oh, I'm waiting.
That's a good example.
Yeah, you could just be preoccupying yourself with praying or preoccupying yourself with a devotion.
Just not doing something on your own.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And just kind of go on behalf of Pat, it is opening our eyes to see what is in front of us. You know, we have to be mindful of what we're up against. And because just like with the eagle, it didn't turn its back to the storm. It faces the storm. But then it immediately realizes that he has to get in locked position because Holy Spirit has us. Holy Spirit will lead us. And then we just wait patiently on the next step from them. Because if we move too quick, we can really fall.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And if you put yourself in, like, the Holy of Holies, like, through worship, through devotion.
If you put yourself in God's presence.
Yeah, then waiting doesn't have to be that burden.
Perfect.
We're not burden-bearing animals anyway.
And God doesn't.
We're not what?
We're not burden-bearing animals anyway.
We're not burden-bearing. We're sheep.
While God knows that we're going to be persecuted and suffering, God doesn't want us to necessarily, you know, hurt in the suffering. We may be persecuted, but we can bear that burden. He doesn't want us to go more than what we can bear.
That's right. That's Paula. I agreed with you.
I think that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes in line, where you have joy, where you have patience, where you have compassion. And long-suffering, those kind of things don't come to us in the natural. When we're suffering or we're going through a major trial, the last thing we want to do is have joy, isn't it? But you know, when you connect with the Lord through praise music or His Word or a good brother or sister that's encouraging in the Lord, you'll feel the Holy Spirit stirring up inside of you. That's why it's important to fellowship with each other, to love on each other. You never know what somebody's going through. You never know. And you might have a kind word that just really encourages them to go the next step of the way. And I think that we need to realize that when we stay in touch with the Lord in that holy place, like Elizabeth said, then the gifts of the Spirit, they will operate. It's not us, it's them. It's the Lord. And that's why when you see somebody that is really hurting, really struggling, really going through a bad time, and you see the joy of the Lord in them, you know you have touched God. And that's what He gives to us. And that's what His blessings are. But it's like, you know, we have to, the only choice we make is get close to Him.
The companionship.
Yes, the companionship. And He needs it with us. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that cool?
Cool. Paul, do you have something?
Hang on.
You know, sometimes we Jews have a real interesting way of saying the same thing. Because in Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye says, God wants us to be happy, even when our heart lies panting on the ground.
I forgot about that. Thank you.
Talk about getting in a hurry, and we all do it. But when I think about Jesus, He didn't hurry anywhere. He just walked. He didn't run for a camel. He just let it be. And then sometime He waited. Like you say, someone spoke up and said, you need to wait. And that's the hardest thing for us to do, isn't it?
It is. I don't know
who missed our Lazarus lesson about a month ago, but he purposely didn't come to heal Lazarus. Because he loved Mary and Martha so much, it says, he wanted to give them an eternal reward to not raise up Lazarus until the fourth day. And when they went through that suffering, when they went through all that, Lazarus was raised from the dead. And because they waited, because those two girls, ladies, suffered, it says many Jews were saved.
Mary, you might want to share this, or I will. Elizabeth wanted us to watch a movie that she recommended called Nativity, the Nativity Story. And so Larry and I watched it yesterday, and one of the things that stood out to me is something that's been on our mind and on our heart. And it's about it, God speaks to us in the still, small voice. We just have to pay attention. But in that movie, it was precious because it mentioned two or three times there was a Jewish woman teacher, and she was teaching the young women. And they were going from that verse, and I think it's 1 Kings 19, that talked about it's not in the earthquake, and then the girls would respond, it wasn't in the earthquake. It wasn't in this, and it wasn't in that, but it's in the still, small voice. And that calls us to be quiet in our spirit so we can hear that. And the enemy calls us to confusion, a lack of peace. He calls us to being frustrated and angry and upset, and we all have to pull the reins on that. I don't know any of us that don't. I mean, we're all human, let's face it. We have to pull the reins on that, and we have to say, I refuse to harbor that and live in that. I'm going to get my soul quiet. I'm going to be with the Lord and the Word. I'm going to praise God. I'm going to start thanking Him for all that He's done for me.
Walking in love.
And then you'll start to hear that still, small voice. Go this way. Go that way. And in that nativity movie, it was so precious the way Joseph heard from the Lord, didn't he? He heard from the Lord what to do with Mary to protect the baby Jesus. He heard to go to Egypt. He heard. God knew he would hear. You know, we hear about Mary a lot. Mary was wonderful. There's no question. God really used a precious handmaiden of the Lord that would believe him with what God told her. But Joseph... And he went through
a
broken...
go against his reputation.
And he had to go through a broken heart because he loved her. You can only imagine. But then the Lord spoke to him. And that's what we've got to have in life.
Even before the Lord spoke to him, he had mercy on her and he didn't condemn her. That was so interesting.
And God knew that he could trust him with that. And I'm just encouraging all of us because we're all going through stuff. We all have been through stuff, and we're all going to be going through stuff. And if you don't think that you will, or that you're not, then wake up.
Become a Muslim. Forget about Christianity.
Because provisions and children that are wayward and sicknesses that you're overcoming, they scream at you in the middle of the night, don't they? And the way the Lord has given us the peace to go through everything we go through is through His Holy Spirit. And He's a good God. He loves us with all of His heart. He's a good daddy. Yes. I had a wonderful daddy. He died when I was 6. But I had a good daddy. So I've got a good image of who God is.
Amen. Amen. All right. Where are we? Good testimonies. Number five. Are you willing to wait on His action? Can you believe His promise? Talk to Him. Okay. 6. The cross. All of this is ours because He bore all of our captivities, worries, bondages on the cross. Imagine. The God who describes Himself in Isaiah 40 is also the one who is in Isaiah 53. He tells us. Hang on a minute. How did He describe Himself? I hold the waters in the hollow of my hand. The nations are a drop in the bucket. And then He says in Isaiah 53, surely He's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. What kind of humility? Yet He esteemed Him smitten by God and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned everyone to His own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He was led to a lamb like a slaughter, to sheep and the shearers in silence, so He opened not His mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare His generation? For He was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people He was stricken. I'm not going to read all this, but you know, it says that Abraham was given a promise that he'd be the father of many nations. It was impossible. But in Romans 4, it says, contrary to his feelings, he believed anyway. those things that be not as though they are. What do you do while waiting? Solomon spent years in the temple, building the temple. The priests brought the ark into the Holy of Holies. The musicians began to play their instruments. But God's presence was not manifested yet. Why not? You think this was finished? The priests were there? As 2 Chronicles 5:13 says, when the people began to praise God, his presence was manifested to the extent that the glory became so strong that the priest could no longer minister. Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice with trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music. Listen, we need to get in unity. They became one. How can we expect God to do anything unless we're in unity in our families? The best we can with our families. You know, let's do the best we can. Be humble ourselves with our people in church. Because these people were in unity. They were thanking and praising the Lord when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praising the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. For then the house of the Lord was filled with the cloud, so that even the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Thank God and praise him, and that his glory will fill you. Carol? Gladly.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your many blessings. And Lord, no matter what we're going through, like David in the Psalms, he would come to you and he would honestly cast his care to you. He would scream and yell that there were things that were wrong in his life. But if you read the Psalms very long, you find out what David's strength was. We find out why David was a man after God's own heart. Because he always came back around at the end of the day, at the end of the verse, the end of the chapter, to say, I will praise you. I will choose to worship you. Father, may we be people of praise and worship and worthy of your provision for us, that we might show other people. Because it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, I will build their land. That starts with our families. That starts with our problems. Father, we give every person in this room to you, every problem that we've brought in here, we lay it at your throne, knowing that you are quite capable of carrying it all. I pray that you would go with us through the week, that you would bless us, that you would keep us, that you would keep every burden that we have and show us your answers one by one. Let us have the faith to believe that you're there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We enjoyed seeing every one of you. See you at the picnic.